after 5 o'clock on this Thursday.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo. It's brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. And they don't need goofy mascots. All right. Here's my post-Subway series, post-Mikhail Bridges, an update to a frequent, semi-frequent Cinco. It's the updated list of the top five teams in New York closest to a championship, excluding the Liberty and our local soccer team.
Okay.
All right.
Enough,
yeah. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The Jets. I guess in that small percentage with Aaron Rodgers taking off, I must include them in this list. The Jets at number five.
Number five. They should be higher than that, but okay.
It's my list, Evan. You can debate it all you want.
I'm just making a comment. That's all.
Number four.
It's the Devils. Markkanen, despite some producers here calling him mid, does make them legitimate in net. I think the Devils will have a big bounce back. The Devils at four.
I kind of agree with that because the Devils looked so promising 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They've had major goaltending issues. Now they acquire... Wasn't he like a Vezina finalist a couple years ago?
I got to double check that, but there was a point in time this year where him versus Igor, there was thought these could make the two best.
I'm kind of with you. Big bounce back candidate, plus they went out and added a goaltender. I'm with you on Jersey.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
It's the Yankees at number three. In theory, you know, October would make them the closest, but it's getting harder and harder to believe this specific year will be the year.
52-30, first place in the American League East. Go
right.
on.
Stop the negativity.
Okay. Number two.
It's the Knicks. You can't put them number one yet. I got to see OG Anunoby actually play playoff games. Can't put them at number one, but they did get closer, so I'll push them over the Yankees to number two.
All right, who's number one? Let me guess.
Number one.
It's the Rangers, who will likely make a big move tomorrow, and one thing has convinced me after all this pandemonium. I don't envision a scenario where the Rangers are not Stanley Cup champions a year from now.
You're doing this again?
I'm back in, man.
You did this all last year.
What's the kitschy thing to make you believe it?
I think they're shaping up some salary cap room here, getting a hunch tomorrow.
No, that's not kitschy.
Tomorrow
that's
at
like
the draft.
That's actual good business. I mean, like 1994. Like, what's the deal?
Well, I haven't found that yet, Teague.
Okay, so you have no chance then.
What do you mean?
Forget it. You have no chance.
No, next year is 2025. It is the 65-year anniversary of 1940.
That's more like it.
There you go.
Not 60. 85 years.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
You got your math off
And 85 is the number that David Tyree wore when he made the helmet catch.
See, now you're speaking our language.
Now you're talking like it's
magical with the number 85.
I disagree with every aspect of that list, but it's your list. So congratulations.
I actually think that's pretty accurate, to be honest.
Okay, it's your accurate. I don't think it is. I would have it ranked very differently.
Okay, well, tell me. Give me your Cinco de Evo on this list.
I'm going to start with number one because it's tough to go backwards. The team closest to a championship is the New York Yankees. I stand by that. Mm.
Okay, wow. I mean, you're just really trying to make yourself feel good with the Mets
slamming
around.
I'm not trying to make myself feel. It has nothing to do with myself. Which team, when I close my eyes, is closest to a championship? Yeah. I don't know. Is in first place in the American League East, has two legendary offensive bats, has one of the best pitchers in baseball despite his struggles, will be aggressive before the trade deadline. And I'm sorry, I'm not letting 3 weeks of bad baseball just tell me they suck.
And you know they're all in for it.
And I know they're all in for it.
Right.
I put them number one.
Hope you're right.
You want to know who number two is?
It's the Jets. Isn't
the New York Jets are number two.
Solely Aaron Rodgers, right?
I mean, or having a top defense. I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it.
You got to do it again.
Robert Saleh's won as many titles as Tom Thibodeau. Right?
Top defense. Did we get Hassan Reddick home from Japan yet?
Number three, I would say, is the New York Mets. We've got Grimace.
Oh,
we've got Mojo. We got everything going, and it's baseball, Susan. Baseball's very different. You're always closer to a championship.
Hold
than
on. Your division, it might preclude you from being...
I don't have to win the division. Dude. Who said that?
I'm not saying you have to win a division, but at some point, your division is going to get in your way.
You think the Mets this October have a better chance of winning a World Series than either the Rangers or Devils next spring?
Well, hold on. This is my list now.
Well, that's what you're telling me.
Obviously, I said yes because I just put them third. Okay. Can I get to fourth now?
Right.
Number four, the New Jersey Devils. I'm with you, man. I'm totally on the train, baby. We got ourselves, you. They got a goaltender.
Huh.
Bounce back season.
Huh.
Jack Hughes is great.
Yeah.
Give me the Devils at number four. Now you want to know number five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready for this one? The New York Giants.
What?
Maybe I believe in Daniel Jones.
Oh, this is such
I believe in Daniel Jones more than you guys believe in Daniel
Jones.
Over
the New York Rangers?
Yeah, they're frauds, dude.
Oh,
come
stop.
On. The captain is Jacob Trouba. What are we doing here?
Not for another 48 hours.
You know what? I'm going to get to Evan in a second there, who left the Knicks off his list, but I got a bone to pick with Sean.
Now, the Knicks weren't even on
the list. He didn't even put the Knicks on the list. He's just a jerk. He's bitter.
Did you put the Knicks on the list?
Yes, too.
Oh, okay.
Again, I think my list was the most fair and accurate.
The Nets couldn't be more irrelevant a story
for another
day. I
didn't say the Nets, but why are you insulting the Giants? Why are you guys hating on the
Giants? You didn't put the Knicks on the list at number one.
The Giants got to prove they're better than the Eagles first.
No, you're supposed to support me on the
list. Okay, I support you. Yes, you're right on the Giants.
Yeah, why does Lugie and Sean hate the Giants?
Why do you guys hate the Giants?
Giants would have been six. The Mets would have been seven.
Not about hating on the Giants. Like I said, I was debating not bringing this up today, but Sean's list really pissed me off. He put the Knicks at two. He didn't even put the Mets on the list.
I'm sorry. Yeah, a team that hasn't won in 40 years put him at two. What a disrespect.
And just got to 500.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was at Citi Field last night. Of course, we were all there, right? And I saw something that I never thought I would see when I was on this earth, and that is Yankee fans embarrass themselves.
How so?
What?
The Mets were up 7-0, and Aaron Judge hit a 2-run homer.
Yes.
And you would have thought from the ovation from Yankee fans that he hit a 9-run home run. I just was curious when you guys lowered the bar, because you were still down 5 runs, and I get it. You didn't have much to cheer about before that, and you certainly didn't have much to cheer about after that. Why you would react in a way that was like, oh, yeah, like your big brother, like your big tough guys. I got news for you. You should clone Aaron Judge, because it's your only shot of scoring any kind of runs.
Listen, dumbass.
Oh, really? You're going to go to name-calling?
Yeah, we are going to go to name-calling. I sat next to you for the last 2 nights. By the way, wearing a dopey Islander hat. Some power positivity Met fan he is. Can't even wear a Met hat.
Met shirt, for the record.
Yeah, okay. You sat there, and including last night, off of the rain delay, and said, Oh, this bullpen. The night before, the Yankees rallied thanks to Aaron Judge and made it a 2-run game. And that was after giving up 9 runs. At the time of the Judge homer, we are off the rain delay, fully entrenched in the Met pen. That makes it 7-2, and you yourself are panicking about the bullpen. Now I'm to believe that off of that, with 4 innings to play with, that 5 runs would have been insurmountable?
Number one.
So why wouldn't I cheer that?
Number one, positive Tommy never panics. That's number one.
Oh, you're a liar when the camera's not on. You're a bold-faced liar.
Number two.
You lie.
Hold on.
You might as well be in a debate tonight. You are a
liar. Don't call
me
a liar. Well, a hell of a lot younger than the two people debating tonight. Number two, and now riddle me this, fat man. Why in the ninth inning, I looked around and the only people at Citi Field was me, Evan, Met fans, and Mr. Softy. So where were all your brethren? You tucked your tail between your legs and you went.
Can you do math?
There's no clock.
Or you just lying?
No. There's no clock. So all your brethren tucked their little tails.
Clock.
You went quietly into the night. Your manager quit.
There is a clock.
Your
it's
team quit.
11:30 at night.
You and your fans gave up. You surrendered.
All right.
You waved the white flag.
Let's hear Sean's response. Go ahead.
At 7-2, we didn't give up. You know,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Gave up when it became 9-10-2. And when Bader's hitting a home run, and eventually I guess they got to 12 runs last night. Bro, 5 runs is a big difference between 7, 8, 9. You know when the death is near. At 5 runs, when Aaron Judge cuts it there, the game was not over. We're of course going to cheer. And by the way, good for us not being super negative, all slapping hands after a Judge homer. The point is, you were scared. You're supposed to be the power positivity.
I was not scared.
Nope. As you buried your 17th chicken finger of the night, you started worrying.
I was
Drew Smith's
pizza.
On the IL. Ooh.
Drew Smith.
It's
not
easy
Joe
for
Smith.
You to speak a tough act now after the fact. The point is, you're a fraud Met fan.
I'm not a fraud
you
Met fan.
You are a fraud.
No, you have
power
to go to insults.
Positivity.
You have to go to insults because you know you're beat here. I saw every single Yankee fan stand up, you know, the guys with nine buttons undone, big tough guys, and they were like, yeah, we hit a home run. Okay. Because you had nothing to cheer about, and you know it.
Well, what's
you know
wrong
your
with
lineup.
That, though? What's wrong with
because
cheering
it's,
for what you have to cheer about?
Suddenly the Mets are murderers robots.
It's an arrogance, Tiki, of we're in your building, and we're going to show you that we're louder. We're big brother. Mm. Well, guess what? You went out on a whimper. So I'm glad you guys all got to stand up and act so tough because you lost. You got embarrassed,
Tommy,
and you quit.
Tommy, I know you had moved recently. I just want to ask you, how much is rent?
How much is rent where?
With the Yankee fans in your head.
Oh, because really? Because you just started this with a list where you mocked the Mets.
No, I didn't.
You mocked the How so?
I didn't include the Mets because they're not one of the five teams closest to a championship.
Hold on. I want to clarify something because Tiki and I are going to rule on this.
Yes.
I've enjoyed this. This has been very fun.
Yeah, interesting debate.
I want to make sure what we know is on trial here.
Absolutely.
It's clear that Lugie is mocking Sean for celebrating the Aaron Judge two-run home run in the sixth inning.
Right. We already know where Evans stands.
And also mocking Sean for leaving early. Are those the two things you are getting on him? And Sean is accusing Lugie of being a fraud Met fan and being worried
fake,
and not being as positive.
Fake positivity.
Is that all correct, by the way?
Sean and all the Yankee fans that weren't attending.
Okay.
He was not alone in this.
Okay, before you rule, I just want to make this known to the audience watching us at SNY listening to WFA, and the Sean you see in here is always the Sean off camera. I've learned that the Tommy we see in here is not the same.
So I really don't understand why you're getting off on that because you sat, wait a minute, on your little train ride into work today, you came up with that dopey rhyme. By the way, Craig Carton wants a stick back. That's number one. Number two, what you see is what you get with me, okay? And I was there last night, calm, cool, collected, positive Tommy. I stayed to the very last out, and I walked out of there.
I'm ready to rule. I'm ready to rule. Are you ready to rule,
Tiki? Yeah, I am. I'm just trying to figure out how we rule on this.
Well, I think we're going to go.
Is one wrong?
We're going to go case by case because there are three accusations.
All right, let's hear them.
Let's start off with the accusation Sean has levied back to Lugie, which is that he's fraudulent in terms of positivity, that during the game, he was biting his nails. He was nervous about the bullpen. Mm. He was worried about Drew Smith. I have a strong opinion on this that I will give. Do you want to go first?
I think after the preponderance of evidence, that's probably a valid point that Sean made, but not invalidating Lugie's optimism.
I'm sorry. I have to completely disagree with you. I'm on Lugie's side on that. Let me explain. I'll tell you why. It doesn't mean he's a fraud. I want to make that clear. Yeah. Him saying on the radio, I am positive in the Mets, and then being worried mid-game does not make you a fraud. I feel that way a lot of times, too. Like, you're confident about a game and that the game is going on and things are happening. Like, we all react very differently to games. So,
Lugie, did you take out emotional insurance?
I did not.
I did.
Evan, did you?
A ton of it.
Okay, you are not allowed to rule then.
Yeah. I'm allowed to rule.
And I would also just...
I'm defending Lugie.
No,
it's okay for him to be positive on the air and then during the game get worried about the Met bullpen.
No.
Why is that not allowed?
No, it's okay to be positive on the air. It's not okay to basically tell your entire fan base, I am the shining light of the power of positivity. Evan, you go to a million Met games a year. Have you ever seen Mr. Met take off his hat in the concourse and start smoking a cigarette?
I've never seen that.
Okay, so the point is...
he did flip the bird once.
Mr. Met keeps the aura and keeps the hat on, right? You can't take off the hat and start smoking the cigarette all nervous if you're the power of positivity.
I understand your point. We have a split decision. Tiki is on the side of Sean in this case. I am on the side of Lugie. That is just point number one. You have a final statement because we got to get to the other two cases.
Let me just be clear here that I'm being accused of being nervous. I was, in fact, never nervous. But let me give an example. If you are the president or if you are a leader, when you address your country, when you address people, you always keep that strong front.
You lie to them.
Not lie, Tiki. It's like your parents. Right?
Wow.
Your parents tell you things sometimes where it's like, oh, crap, we're a little behind on rent here. But you're going to tell your kids that. You're going to give the power of positivity because the reason I'm positive is because our fan base and a lot of the leaders of our fan base love to be negative, and I'm sick of it. It's about being positive and pushing the power of positivity.
All right. I don't agree with the position of positivity, but I will defend him on the simple case at hand that it's okay to be nervous in the midst of a game.
Next.
So we're split on that.
Next.
Okay. Lugie laid out that it was pathetic for Sean and other Yankee fans to wildly cheer Aaron Judge's two-run home run that made the game 7-2 in the sixth inning. I definitely have a ruling. Do you have a ruling?
I absolutely have a ruling.
Go ahead.
Absolutely okay with it. 100%. The game is not over. And at that point, it's five runs. You never know what can happen. We've already had this conversation.
I am completely with you on this. I'm sorry, Loogie. You are wrong. I think that Yankee fans have every right to be excited. It's the sixth inning. There's a lot of game left,
and
man.
And it's Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Who is the superstar of superstars in Major League Baseball.
Then I don't want to hear that the game was over a couple innings later. They don't have to go to work. Everybody works from their couch on Zoom these days. So if the game wasn't over then, why would the game
Because hold on. I'm sorry.
Yes, man.
And I say this as
they
someone
had nothing
that,
to cheer about.
But Luke, I never leave games early. I'm always staying late. We talked about this earlier. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. There is a difference between 7-2 in the sixth inning and 12-2 in the ninth inning after a long rain delay.
And like, Aaron Judge is no longer in the lineup.
Yeah, and
Soto
and,
is no longer in the lineup.
And the manager admits, we're out. I'm taking guys out. Like, look, to me, again, personally, I do not go wild when my team hits a home run down by seven runs. I don't do that, okay? But I completely understand someone being excited because they think they're in the game and trying to come back.
It was over-the-top cheering because the bar is so low. You were getting smacked so badly that a two-run homer, when you're still down five, you had to show how big, bad, and tough you are. That's how it came off to me.
All right. I apologize. Both Tiki and I ruled unanimously against you. And the third case, which is the second accusation against Sean and Yankee fans, if I'm getting this correct, is that they left early and that was pathetic, correct?
Yes, especially off of that cheer off the Judge home run, and then a couple of minutes later,
I have to go first on this, Tiki, because I have experience of being in the building. Everybody left early. Like, there was no one. So Met fans left early. Mm. People leave early. Even if I don't do it, Tiki's the captain of leaving early.
100%.
And I get it. I don't agree with you. I don't do it, but I understand it. So I can't hold Yankee fans accountable when Met fans did the same thing by leaving early.
I leave early and I'm proud.
You know what, Evan? I have a question for you.
I gave you the first case. I was on your side in the accusation against you. I sided with you. But the other two, you're wrong. I'm sorry.
And furthermore, proving that Loogie is not a man of the purse people, a blue-collar guy like me. I left early yesterday. Why? Because my brother-in-law, Yankee fan, was part of my ride home. Blue-collar elevator union. Had to be up at 3:45 in the morning, not working from Zoom.
So your fat ass could have jumped on a train, by the way. What are we in Siberia?
We didn't need the clarification. I'm with Evan on this one. Loogie, you lose this one as well. And you know why you lose? Your next statement doesn't even matter. Because you cheated. You took a nap.
That's right.
You guys suck, by the way, because he went to insults right away, which tells you he's beat.
No.
Okay.
Well,
whatever.
Your accusations against him, we both threw out, but his accusation against you, I definitely defended you on.
Okay.
So we all come away clean.
Yeah. So the bottom line is this. The future of WFAN lost on two counts. Goodbye.
I'm still a generational talent.
These guys are something else. Before we get your calls, a lot of Yankee fans and Met fans want to weigh in on that debate between Sean and Loogie. There was a lawsuit, and I hadn't followed it very closely, between NFL fans and the NFL about the Sunday ticket. And they just ruled, and like the NFL owes billions of dollars over this. What do you know, and how does it impact the consumer?
All right, so as it stands right now, if the judicial process stopped here, those who have purchased Sunday ticket for DirecTV, for depending on how long you did, you would be basically divvied out an amount in a check. However, much like anything, Evan, this will be apparently appealed by the plaintiffs, and the belief is it will keep getting appealed all the way to the Supreme Court.
Really?
Yes.
We're going to have to wait for the Supremes to rule
on this? Yeah, this is an antitrust thing that the NFL is fighting. They're saying that their ability to distribute out-of-market games on over-the-air television is their right and protected. The plaintiffs in this case are saying it's only protected, meaning your antitrust exemption is only protected for broadcast television.
Interesting.
Not for digital television or only one provider, which in this case was a satellite provider.
DirecTV, yes, when they had the access to it, yes.
Right, so that's the issue. It's whether or not the antitrust exemption applies to the satellite provider as well as the over-the-air or the network television, or if it's just the network television.
So,
that's what's at issue here. And it's a big number, by the way.
Yeah.
$4.7 billion, as you said, that covers roughly 2.4 million subscribers. So it's essentially $2,000 per subscriber.
What?
So that's what's at stake here.
What up? Shawnee.
Right. Now, I believe I would get a little less because I had it less years than you.
Oh, yes. So it's based on the amount of years you've had
it? Yes, because it would go, how much did you keep paying towards it?
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Boy, I know this is going to take a while, especially if you're telling me they're appealing it, and eventually it's going to have to be ruled by the Supreme Court. We're not going to find out for a while, but for anyone who bought the ticket, like, this is very exciting stuff.
I can't wait.
What does it change moving forward? Because the YouTube package this season of the NFL Sunday Ticket was a little bit different, but it was, in general, the same. So you mentioned earlier that they need to give you the option to buy, like, one team to watch that's out of market as opposed to having to buy everybody?
Yeah, now I want to make this very clear. I have to go back and remember, but I just know that, hey, I gave YouTube, said, take my money, I want the full season package and everything. I don't know if YouTube did give this altered version already. I am not sure
on
that.
Other leagues do, by the way.
Other leagues
do? I know for a fact, yes.
But if not, I can't imagine they're going to go through this whole lawsuit and allow YouTube to not offer that this year. That would make no sense.
What it would do is, like, my brother-in-law lives in North Carolina, and he is a big New York Giants fan. He could buy the Giants Sunday ticket to ensure he always gets to see his team.
Yeah, right. But that doesn't that also admit guilt if they change it?
It's a different entity. Well, you're right. The league would be admitting guilt, even though it's a different entity now that runs the Sunday ticket.
Yeah, or YouTube comes out ahead of it, and basically they could be the caveat to, we're not admitting guilt. This is what we're doing for our listeners or our viewers.
Interesting. Oh God. That's like a couple of grand. Let's go. Let's go.
That's an emotional hedge.
It really is. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Lee is calling from Long Island. How you doing today, Lee?
What's going on, fellas? How's it going?
We're good.
Good. What's up?
So I want to preface this by saying I'm a big Loogie supporter, but what I just heard him say about the Yankee fans and Judge last night was one of the worst things I've ever heard. So... Evan, you're a little bit of a different person because you'll go to Met games all times of the year, support your team, good, the bad. You've sat through probably more bad games than good games. Would I be right with that?
Yes, that would be correct.
Okay. So the Yankees last night got their doors knocked off of them, and we employed this man named Aaron Judge, who is, what, his 30th home run of the year last night?
Yes, 30.
He's on pace to hit 60 again, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, right out that number. Yeah.
Have you watched the Mets ever celebrate a walk-off win in September when they're about 10 or 11 games out of the playoff race and watch Pete Alonso rip his shirt off?
Yes. Yes, I have. No, and that's why I'm on your side. Like, I love Loogie, and Loogie, that caller loves you. He just thinks you're dead wrong about this because it's okay to celebrate when your team does something.
No,
it's okay.
I understand that. I'm not getting on them for celebrating. I'm getting on them for how loud they were and how boisterous they were. You would have thought they just won the World Series. And my point is that you didn't have a lot to cheer about, so you're clinging to a little two-run homer that got you five runs still down.
But you don't know if that's not the beginning of an epic rally. I mean, 7-2 in the sixth inning is still a baseball game, and you have to admit, when Mark Vientos committed that error, and it was a big one against DJ LeMahieu, and the Yankees had 2-1 and 1 out without Adam Ottavino on the mound in a 7-2 game, you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, the Yankees are a base hit away from making this a real, real game.
And you have to admit, being a Net fan, being a Met fan, when you're the little brother and you're hosting, big brother likes to show a little bit of their muscle, and I think Yankee fans just wanted to be like, no, we're the Yankees, we're going to show you how loud you are. You know what, you weren't loud when you were tiptoeing out of Citi Field last night.
I understand, but I think
everybody was tiptoeing out of Citi Field.
Not the Met fans. The Met fans.
I was running out of Citi Field.
Exactly.
I was like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Tired of being wet.
If I'm wet, it's late. I think that you're looking too closely into it. I think that sometimes when you're at a baseball game, you're excited when your team does something. And Aaron Judge hit his 30th home run of the season. Mm-hmm. It made a 7-0 game, 7-2. And against this Met bullpen, that's a baseball
game. So we're celebrating him hitting 30 home runs? The guy hit 100,000 home runs a couple years ago. This isn't a guy who's never hit 30 home runs before. That's what we're going to cling on to for being loud? Come on.
There's also something, we always talk about context matters with quotes and everything. Remember, we were coming off an hour and a half rain delay where those who stayed through the stadium stayed with the expectation their team had a chance to come back. Mm-hmm. And we're within 20 minutes of the tarp coming off the field when Judge homers. So what are we supposed to do? Not assume it's a brand new ballgame?
Nah, this is a big fat L for Loogie today. Mm-hmm. Big one. He's had a lot of wins lately. He's been red hot.
My chest hurts for anxiety for how wrong he is.
And I'll just say, being there during the rain delay, and I give Citi Field a lot of credit for this, what we were watching on the big screen was more exciting than we were watching on the field. And I'll just leave it at that.
Can I ask you a question? And I'm not saying it to make you look bad or insult you. It's just like a general, genuine question. When was the last time you went to a Met game and you paid for your own tickets?
When was the last time I went to any sporting event?
It's
probably the better question, Evan.
Touché.
That's how you remain positive as a sports fan. Right. You don't reach into your pocket.
Right.
That's, you know what? That would help.
This cost me nothing. Let's go!
I think I would be more positive if I wasn't dropping all this money.
Evan, on that note, I'm going to sell. Now that Loogie wants to take me off, 2 straight days I spent with him in the SNY suite, I overheard him tell several important people over and over again how much he can't wait for you to take him to Boston.
Take him to Boston for what?
Celtics, Knicks. He kept telling everybody, Evan's going to take me to Boston. Evan's going to take me to Boston. I can't wait with Bridget and Evan's going to take me to Boston.
Well, it all came full circle last night. Evan, you told a story on the air yesterday that you were upset about the Mikal Bridges trade, obviously, but the person that made you feel better was Ray Martell.
Yeah, big Celtic fan,
former producer here, sure. Yes. He was in the SNY suite. So I said, hey, Ray, I heard you were running your big mouth. Well, here's the bottom line. Your Celtics did not play the Knicks in the playoffs, so I don't want to hear it. You're going to get us. You're going to get a date with us, and Evan's going to pay for me to go to Boston. I can't wait. And he didn't say anything. He basically just quivered at my, you know, presence. So.
No, I think he just didn't want to argue with
you. Okay, yeah. Well, we'll see.
He chose, as an NBA champion, like, I'm not doing this right now.
He likes to walk off just one statement.
Yeah.
Moment. He's not looking to debate.
You know what else he wants to do? Eat a burger.
I just said that to him off air. Took a beer, burger, and left. Are you working?
He came in that suite like Kramer comes in Seinfeld's house and just raided the food.
That's the Ray Martell I know. Let's go to Dan in Sag Harbor. How you doing, Dan?
Okay. I've been waiting quite a while.
Well, you've
talking
made
about
it.
Staying at games.
Yes.
I was at the Memorial Day doubleheader. I stayed for nearly 10 hours.
Oh, my God.
Right to the very end. I gave the car to my family, and I figured I lived in Richmond Hill at the time. And I figured I can walk from Flushing to Richmond Hill. Luckily, when I was walking down Main Street sometime, I don't know when the hell it was, but I kept score for the whole 32 innings.
Wow.
9 innings for the first one, 23 for the second. And I was writing in the margins of the pages, but it was rudimentary scoring.
Yeah.
It's not like the scoring that you do in your book. And one of the reasons why I called about your book is I'm 87. I have over 500 books on baseball. First one I got was in 1946. Lucky to Be a Yankee by DiMaggio and a signed copy.
Mm.
That was my first baseball.
That's a pretty good first book, that's for sure.
Yeah, but we were Mets, Brooklyn Dodger fans.
Right.
My mother gave it to me because I guess she was fishing around, what should I give my son for Christmas? Well, she loves to read.
Right.
The majority of my Christmas gifts were always books.
Mm.
There's always 6,000 books in this house.
Wow. Not bad.
But I'm telling you, I am fascinated by your book. I think it's a book that real baseball fans are going to treasure.
Thank you.
As long as books are in print.
Damn, well, that's very high praise, especially from you as someone that's read as many books as you have. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah. I do appreciate
that's
it.
That's a lot of
books. One more thing?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I used to keep scoring myself like you allude to when you were young.
Yeah.
By listening to the radio and writing down all the scores from St. Louis and Cincinnati because the box score that was printed the next day in the Daily News, which was the best box score back in the 40s, was not as conclusive with data as I wanted.
Right.
So I started keeping my own statistics.
I like that.
But again, rudimentary. But I kept home and away, day and night, where I could figure out lefty, righty, etc. One of my high school teachers was a friend of Alan Roth. As you may know, Alan Roth was the Brooklyn Dodgers statistician.
Right.
And when he took some of my documentation and showed it to Alan Roth, and Roth told my high school teacher that after I graduate, the Dodgers will sign me as their assistant to Alan Roth.
Wow.
Except, of course, they moved away.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's
really into numbers.
Right. That's a missed opportunity, dude.
That is pretty cool, though, man. And I appreciate you calling and reading the book. Thank you very much. That's a lot of books he's got.
Mm-hmm.
How many books he had? You know what I find fascinating? Reading books that were written as long ago as that. Because It's funny how differently we speak.
Right.
Like if you, I was reading Ulysses S. Grant was a former president. He was obviously a former general from the Civil War. And he was dirt poor after he left the office, the presidency.
Is that right?
Dirt
because
poor.
Because there weren't the mechanisms to make the millions of dollars like former presidents do now.
That's right. You can't just make a speech or sell a steak. Right. Like you literally.
Well, you could, but no one's paying you for it.
Right. So U.S. Grant did two things. One, he tried to run again. He actually tried to do the thing that President Trump is trying to do, that Grover Cleveland accomplished many years ago, and that is the non-consecutive terms and all that. And he failed. And then he wrote a book. And his book is widely considered like the greatest autobiography ever written by a president.
Really?
And yeah, and
why?
I read it.
Why?
Because
of the detail of his... Because it sounds like it's somewhat tragic, even though it was about accomplishment.
Yeah, I guess it's because it's him talking about his life and getting into detail about college and the war and all that. And I read it, and one of the things that jumped out at me was I was like, it's English, but it's so different. Like, he's speaking English, but it's not the same. By the way, speaking of presidents, what are we doing tonight? For those that don't know, there is a presidential debate, which I'm out of whack on this thing. Mm-hmm. Because presidential debates are not in June. And I'm talking about general elections, not primaries. A presidential debate is in September.
The most important day in the history of our country.
What? Today? So there is a presidential debate. Of course, only two candidates, because you know the way it is. But you also have a Yankees game. So I put out on social media, and I was curious before I get your opinion, Tiki, do you go Yankees? Do you go debate? Or are people saying I'm not interested in either?
Yeah, streaming something, binging something
else. Yeah, binging something else. Now, truthfully, for me, I will end up with both, but I will focus on one thing over the other.
Which is the presidential debate.
There was this big dump. Where did it come from?
You said it.
What was that?
I forgot about it until you said something.
I kind of forgot about it, too.
For whatever reason, it's not, I don't even think it's, feel like it's being advertised.
Well, I think it's, honestly, maybe I'm wrong about this. It's June.
Right. And so it's hard to focus on it.
And
by the way, so my daughters have cheer this afternoon. So Tracy was driving down the Garden State Parkway. You heard it probably very, recently on these updates, these traffic updates. Traffic is insane, right? From Jersey all the way down to Toms River, or up North Jersey all the way down to Toms River. There's going to be a lot of people that just aren't going to feel like watching a debate after being on the road. It's Thursday of the summer.
Well, I think that's a problem.
It's like they dumped it. They put it in a place where it's not going to be noticed.
Here's the problem. All right, and without getting into the politics of the candidates, I don't think people love the choices, but forget that for a second. Even if you did. No one's ready for the election in June. You're just not. The summer's about to begin. It's not a debatable time of year. So I will watch it because I'm a schmuck. But in general, it's like September, October, where it becomes a thing.
I think it's more about the fireworks. That's why I'm 100%. Morbidly curious.
Well, sure.
And this is very unique compared to past years, 4 years, 8 years. This debate cycle will be the first truly in our streaming wars dilemma. So Max has it because of CNN tonight, and it will be archived just like you could go back and binge anything else.
So it'll be easy for you to access if you missed it today.
So put it this way. Yes, I'm sure a lot of people will watch it live, but the idea behind also helping it with June is, little word of buzz, there'll be people that won't see this for 3 weeks, and it just lives on Max where you can go back to it.
One opinion I've always had about presidential debates, very strongly opinion I have on this, is I hate crowds being involved. I don't like the cheering. I don't like the booing. Just shut up. I'm not there for you. I'm here to hear these two morons talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I always hate when crowds are involved. There is no crowd for this one. Actually, this will Lugie will be excited about this because I don't think he knows who the two candidates are. They're actually filming this at the old Georgia Championship Wrestling Studio.
Are they really?
Yes. Yeah. How cool is that?
Why there?
Why not? I don't know why. I think it's because of CNN, right? Isn't it? It's a CNN debate.
Yeah,
it's probably some building CNN's, that's owned by CNN.
Yeah, CNN's based out of Georgia. I'm just thinking maybe it was because of the Georgia issue around.
I don't think that's
true. I don't think so either, but whatever.
The last time that I remember.
That's what came to mind when you said that.
I remember, which debate was this? My wife was pregnant and the baby was plop. Like, he was coming. I think it was 2020. Tell me if I'm wrong. Did Biden and Trump debate the night of a Yankee-Cleveland-Indian playoff game? Does that sound familiar?
That does sound... Matter of fact, I know that happened because I was outside at my dad's bar watching the Yankee-Cleveland game, only to have my sister screaming that she wanted the sound of the debate on during a big at-bat.
So that was the night I think my wife's water broke with Spence, our youngest child, and pandemic baby, by the way. Pandemic babies mean once you go in the hospital, you're stuck.
Yeah.
And you better wear a mask the entire time. Well, like, you can't take it off for anything.
At least something good came out that night.
Well, it was the next morning, but yes. So she's getting ready to push, and I'm like, I'm going to DVR the Yankee game. And she's like, put on the debate. I'm like, do you really want to put on the debate? She's like, put on the debate. And I remember, like, I turn it on, and she just starts cursing at somebody. She didn't like something that was said in the debate. I do remember that. And that I was like, I'm going to take this off. I don't want you stressed right now.
Big dump.
That was the night, is it October 22nd? No, never mind.
It was not October, no.
September 29th?
Yes. My son was born on September 30th.
Okay, that was earlier playoffs.
Yes.
Because of the pandemic.
It was game one. It was Yankees-Cleveland game one, and it was the night of, I don't know if it was the first Trump-Biden debate. I forget how many debates they had.
It was. There was one canceled in between. That was number one.
Yes. So this was whatever, but I do remember that, like, very specifically, and that's part of my problem. Like, this is not the time of the year for a debate. Anyhow, do you want to hear the results on Twitter, and then we'll get to your calls?
Yes. Yankees won 12-3, by the way.
Yankees won. I know that. What do you think won? Neither presidential debate or Yankees-Jays?
Neither.
No, presidential debate.
Really?
How about that?
In June.
People want to see it. Two old men yelling at each other. Let's go.
Because reality TV's taken over our country, and this feels like a reality TV type of election cycle.
But you're also looking at it negatively. Why isn't it just people care about the issues and they want to see?
I promise you, not an issue is going to get addressed.
Probably not.
Yeah, because politics have become like sports.
It has nothing to do with politics and sports of that. It has everything to do with the two people who are sitting on that stage.
Yeah.
They cannot help but attack one another.
Oh, it's going to be juicy and horrible.
Yes.
So 44% of people are going to watch the debate. 37% say neither. 19% say Yankees, Jays. I think the baseball fan needs a break. The Yankee fan's like, I need an off day. I'm either going to watch Breaking Bad on my streaming service, or I'm going to watch another version of Breaking Bad. Two old men yelling at each other. So, should be an interesting night. Anyhow, let's get back to your calls. Josh is on Long Island. How you doing, Josh?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So I'm going to start this off by saying I love Loogie, like the other guys say. And he's my guy. And if you have to pick one, I'm sorry, Sean, you're off the island. Loogie's wrong on all three counts.
Lucky nobody's going anywhere.
I was at the game. I had four kids there and a wife. Trust me, the wife was not happy we were sticking around. I had one kid telling me, why don't we leave during the rain delay? I'm like, because we'll die. Like, have you looked outside? We can't do that. But once, I mean, listen, Judge it's the homer, DJ the error for that. We're all sitting there like, they're coming back. Once that inning ends, though, it kind of lost the luster. So I understand what Loogie's saying, but at the same time, like, you got to know when you got to know, you know, and we knew that. And then one quick question for you guys. There was a crazy fight right behind us in the seventh inning, like people throwing down, men, women, it was out of control.
Wow.
What are your thoughts on, like, how does something like that even happen? It's a game. I get it. Yankees and Mets, and I'm a big fan, but like, I can never see that happening. I don't care how much alcohol, whatever the situation is.
But Josh, I think you answered your question.
Wow.
It's alcohol.
Alcohol.
Like, it is not literally a fight over Aaron Judge versus Pete Alonso or Mets versus Yankees. It starts that way, but it's really about being liquored up.
Yeah. Did you see this, Sean?
I did not, but my sister and her husband witnessed this in the seventh inning, and apparently the details were discussed. Like, a woman was apparently struck last night.
Oh my God! Where was
by
this?
Another woman?
By a dude.
Oh, what a bitch! Screw him.
Where was the fight? Do you know where?
I believe it was in the 100.
Not the woman, the guy. By the way,
no, we assume that. We assumed you were mad at the person that hit the person. I didn't see it. The only thing I did see that kind of went viral is, there was a clip of police officers dragging a guy out right behind home plate. And so you see it really quickly.
Oh, yes.
But you see someone being dragged out by police officers, and I'm not sure if it's related to it.
That was probably not related, because they had to be closer to the field.
The third baseline. I'm trying to get the exact details. Yes. But apparently the guy who struck the woman ended up basically being like knocked out flat on his back by the other woman's like,
oh, good.
I'm sure. I would assume that. Look, I think this is not, you know, Loogie and Sean fighting over the Mets and the Yankees. This is drunkenness.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is. And look, it's one of the dangers. You know, I take my kids to the game. You always have that in the back of your mind. I've told you this story briefly, and I'm not making it up. I once got pummeled during a fight, and I was a kid. I wasn't fighting. I was sitting at Shea Stadium, and two guys got into a massive fight, and they started rolling down the aisle, and they landed on top of me. I got taken out on a stretcher.
Oh, wow.
That's a true story. And so it's always in the back of my mind. Look, I turned out to be okay. Mm-hmm. It was fine. I was more pissed off that I had to leave the game because I was scoring it. I don't think I ever recovered the scorecard. But it's scary. It is. So that's why as much as you have fun at games and you're like, serve me another, there's a moment where you got to stop serving people because this kind of jackassery happens.
It just gets that way when you have extended time there because of the rain delay.
Yes. Rain delays contribute to it.
It's also, if it was Mets Pirates and it's mostly Met fans, less likely to be a fight. Mm. Everybody's already gassed up because of the rivalry.
It probably had nothing to do with either team.
Probably not, but it was opposing fans. I'm reading back on the message now.
You know what it is, T? Because I saw one behind me. It didn't turn into a fight, but it had, like, my dad and I were looking at each other like, this could become one. It starts with fandom. Mm-hmm. So it started with a Yankee fan. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to say you're all bad people. This one started with a Yankee fan out of nowhere just screaming, you guys still suck! You guys still suck! The Mets still suck! And I'm laughing. I'm giggling. I think even Loogie would just laugh like, okay. And one guy took the hook and said, shut the F up! Your team sucks! And then there was a retort.
Yeah.
And curse words were being used. And now they're yelling at each other. And it could have. Now, luckily, it died down. I don't even know how it died down. I think they just stopped.
Yeah, you got bored. This is stupid. This isn't affecting anything.
But that's the way it starts.
Right.
It always starts that way.
Maybe Judge hits a home run.
An hour and a half of extra drinking doesn't help either.
No, that's what we're talking about. John is in Massbeth. What's up, John?
How's it going, gentlemen?
All's good.
All right. I just want to say, for all us Yankee fans out there listening, it's all right. You know, every team goes through their struggles, especially the last five World Series champions have hit patches where they had a rough 2 weeks. Like last year, the Rangers lost 8 in a row. In 2022, the Astros also had a stretch where they went 2-8. In 2021, the Braves had a 2-6 streak and a 1-6 streak. We're going to skip 2020 because of COVID. And 2019, the Nationals.
19-30.
Start of the season, 19-31.
Yep.
It's okay to have a rough 10 games, because that's only equal to 5% of the season, which is really equal to one game in the NFL.
Don't do that. Actually, I love that because I agree with him. You are right.
It depends on where that one game comes.
Of course. You are right. I think the concern from the Yankee fan isn't about math or isn't about they're struggling. I think there's a deeper concern that some Yankee fans have about this team. I mean, you heard it at the top of the show. If you want to rewind on the Odyssey app, the idea of DJ LeMahieu is cooked. The idea that Gleyber Torres is never going to figure it out. You know, one example, and he brought up a really good one that I liked, the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
This goes back to something you brought up to me a couple times, that when you and BT were doing the show and Joe B was on the show a lot, Joe would tell you, we got to win the division, right.
That was the whole thing around that 2022 season, where it's like, we got to win the division, dude. This Braves series is the most important one that we've had in decades type of thing.
So the Texas Rangers had a two-game lead with four games to play, and they blew it. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Seattle Mariners, and it allowed the Houston Astros to win the American League West. Texas still made the playoffs, as you know, but they blew the division in a way that's really bad, right? And then they won the wild card series and the divisional series, and then beat the Astros in game 6 and 7 on the road. That was only on the road because they blew the division.
Right.
So when we talk about playing baseball well at the right time, the Rangers didn't even do it the last week of the year.
Right.
But somehow they did it starting on October 5th.
And that's what matters, because October 5th is the postseason.
Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. It's coming up next on SNY. But I think the concern that the Yankee fan has in general is that they don't trust their team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and you brought this up before about 2022 and the similarities, I think that's the fear in the back of Yankee fans' minds, that this is 2022 all over again.
Because it's, instead of just one guy who's constantly on, that was Aaron Judge, It's two guys who are pretty consistently on, and then the rest is struggling. Now, the difference is it feels like the rest, in this case with the Yankees this season, have the ability to somewhat turn it around at some point. There was zero faith in those guys that were trotting out there in 2022. Zero.